Last episode, the group started by practicing a new move by the moonlight as the town was mostly empty, allowing a longer range on Little Bird and Kyrie's shield bounce. They all headed to bed and awoke the next morning to a rather large owlbear Imperial Guard by the name of Glynn. He came to escort them on the hunter's quest that was posted. Captain receives a letter informing him that Addy, his once second in command, is now a wanted criminal, and that the monster they're hunting is a black worm of some kind. They do a little shopping and learn that the explosive orb from the bandits was actually a part of Vrutha from the Blue Rug General's order, and after being paid in gems by Glynn, Vrutha lets them keep it. They gear up and get ready for the hunt.
My name is Ashley, and I play Little Bird.
Hi, my name is Bree, and I will be playing Kyrie.
Hi, I'm Nyx, and I'll be playing Avani.
Hi, I'm March, and I play Flint Bright.
Hi, my name is John, and I'll be playing Gooey.
Hello, this is Aika, and I will be playing as Clint.
And I'm Rob, the last-minute planning DM, and welcome to the homebrew. So y'all are in the center of town. There's hustle and bustle around you. You know the direction that you need to go in. You know that you can get a free cart because you've got Glint with you, and Glint's an Imperial Guard. What do you guys want to do?
I mean, I'd assume get a cart.
Didn't we get a cart last time?
No, you ended just as you'd made the bombs.
Mm. We discussed about getting a cart, but then we just thought it's just going to get trashed because that's what every other cart has done.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we're going to walk, aren't we?
And it was 2 days' walk?
Yeah, 2 days' walk west of Chaos Vault. Near the Fabian War Trade Route.
There's an old path, because it's what used to be a temple, so there's definitely, like, a route there, like, cleared of trees and stuff.
I mean, the dossier said it was near the Vapor Trade Route.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the west, I believe.
Why fucking Basinth?
Right. You see where you've got Vapor Wall and Basinth? If you were to draw a line between the two and go through the middle and then bring that up towards the center of the river near where that red line is, it's more up that way than the other way.
Okay.
When you left Vapor Wall, you came down from the south of it, and then hooked around to Basinth. Not the big river, the little river as well.
Right. So the big river, that's going to be a fucking walk.
That's a trek. But no, it's near enough where the mountains and stuff start. Or where the hills and all that big hilly area. Assume that it's still got trees and stuff there.
I mean, anyone else want to weigh in?
I guess we just go.
Yeah, just walk.
You all stocked up on everything you need from Castle?
Pretty sure.
I have 3 potions. I am more than ready.
Okay.
I hope.
I have no potions.
I have my hands.
I mean, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a nose.
I don't think you need one.
Woo, walk in, let's go.
Okay.
Flint steps off, Flint's gone.
Is Gary just thinking about having a nose?
He's just like prestigiating and like a nose with like glasses with nose.
Oh, one of the joke shop glasses.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Ah, classic.
The dad mustache and everything. Oh. So we'll say that it takes you guys, you leave Cast Vault, you inform the guards where you're going, what you're doing, they see Glint's with you and they understand, they have Glint sign the bottom of a ledger, just basically saying, like, you know, if anyone needs you, whereabouts they can find you, that Glint set off with you guys, so if Glint doesn't return, they need to talk to you, yada yada yada.
Paperwork every day.
After, it's a fairly uneventful walk. You walk like the same kind of way that you
walked from Basinth to Castfold. A lot of similar sites, although it looks like the path is a little bit more trodden now, like more people going to Basinth now, they're a bit more open to like non-Gripply and stuff like that. You even spot one of the Gripply on the road. You don't know him, but he's just walking past you quite happily. He's wearing what looks to be the same kind of town guard armor as what you've seen in Basinth. After about another, you know, 5-6 hours, you're close enough to Basinth that you could turn off. But at this point, I think we ended yesterday at about, last session at about 3 p.m. So it's getting to, like, nighttime now. And, you know, you're deep in woods, but close enough to a town if needs be that you can nip into the town. It'd only be like maybe 3 more hours to get there if you were to walk it.
I mean, we could just camp out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
idea.
I don't think we would. At night, we probably don't want to be there with the whatever it is.
Well, that was a lot more south than you guys are now.
I mean, still, just a precaution.
Make a big fire, we'll be fine.
Oh, I can do that. Perfectly fine.
Without hurting yourself, though?
That is the question, indeed.
Only one way to find out.
Doesn't seem like any places to make a decent camp.
Can you make a perception?
15.
After about half an hour, you find, like, an outcrop that's, like, it's like a load of large stones that are mostly covered on the top in moss and have tall grass around them. But it seems to be a very, very small cave with a large entrance at the front that you could quite feasibly fit everyone in.
Does it look too good? Do owlbears live in caves or woods?
We live in villages, actually, but mostly in the woods.
Oh. Because you are... bear cave, and I just point at it. Gooby's just gonna nod a little and then just find a decent little spot in the grass somewhere, unroll their scroll, and begin to start ritually casting Unseen Servant. Should take about 10 minutes.
Guess, yep. I would like to make a campfire if we're staying here.
Make a fire at like the mouth of the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just gonna sit. I mean, if we're camping for the night.
I mean, is there anything you guys want to do, or do you want to just cut straight to the next morning?
I guess
there's only so much that can happen while camping.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll take shifts.
Who's going first on the shift?
I will.
Okay, who's going second? Me. Okay, and who's going third?
I will.
I'll go third.
Oh,
or maybe me.
We can go together.
Me and... Yeah, we can do it. Can't talk, okay. Jesus.
So,
y'all can just tell me what to do.
I am, as... Before we do go to sleep, I am going to spend about 10 gold and an hour's worth of time just infusing some runes.
Yeah, you do what you got to do, B. Mm-hmm. As the night kind of settles in a bit more, you could hear, like, various chittering and birds and rustling and stuff. Actually, can you make a perception?
11.
Doesn't seem like anything's going on, or has, you know, spotted the camp or anything like that.
You become vaguely aware of the sky.
Oh god, walk...
Mike is muted.
You walk over and give Kairi a little kick and a squawk. Kairi wakes up. You've had a couple of hours at this point. Kairi, do you want to make a perception? The moon is, like, fully out at this point.
That's a 19.
You are super carefully surveying the surroundings. You see movement in a nearby bush, like, to the left of you. And you just your sword, and it turns out just to be a deer. And you scare it off.
Awesome.
Doesn't look like anything's coming. The fire's crackling a bit because it's getting on a bit. And you kick the other two awake. Settle in again for the night in whatever the fuck you're sleeping in.
I'm sleeping
naked armor.
I'm sleeping in a tent in my bedroll.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, you have a
literally, literally just sitting outside.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So, which one of you two is going to make the perception? It's about 4 a.m. now. 5 a.m. This is, like, here till about 8-ish.
I think I would like to make the perception, unless Flint really wants to.
Flint is probably just, like, taking time to read the thing that Ozak gave him.
Okay.
And just, like, actually paying attention.
So, okay, so if you're not paying attention, you have to make a straight perception roll.
Let's see. That's a 8. Yep, that's an 8.
Okay, so as the morning draws on, your eyes start to flutter closed, almost like you didn't get enough sleep. And you see something come out of the bushes towards you, and you like Captain gives you a hit and wakes you up a bit. And it's the same deer from before. It smelt whatever food you were cooking and was interested, but it notices you making noise and runs off again into the bushes. It's fucking now...
Piss off! I shout into the bushes to the deer.
A deer at the
moment. With all the tree coverage. But you can hear like a lot of birds doing their morning calls and stuff like that.
I kick everyone awake, except for Flint. He's already awake.
Yeah.
To get going.
I start doing my morning calls.
So yeah, the morning comes, you know you're about... You're just over halfway. You made, like, good time yesterday, because it was fairly uneventful. Yeah, set off whenever you want to set off.
I mean, can we just have a little munch? A little
crunch.
A little crunch.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Full scrunch.
That's all I got for you.
Oh.
There's just many, like, slopping and squishing noises and just, like, crunching coming from Gooey's tent before Finch just comes out fully dressed.
Not like that.
Does the owlbear eat a whole bucket again of something?
I mean... The owlbear is certainly eating something, and it sounds hard and possibly crunchy, but...
Rocks!
I mean, I'm not saying it's rocks.
You do you.
Gwent, like, offers you a giant, like, talon full of rocks.
I'm good, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Gooey will take one of the rocks.
Gooey's free to take a rock.
And just throws it into their face. And just see, just slowly starts dissolving. Probably too slowly to even do anything.
Oh.
Glint gives you a big thumbs up, puts the rest in his beak.
Doesn't Kyrie want anything? I think she liked eating rocks, didn't she?
Kyrie's big fan of rocks.
Big fan.
Kyrie's good. Kyrie's good.
So, with it. Your morning, like, eating and stuff done. It's probably about 9:30 at this point. You'll continue making your way. You start to hear a slow-flowing stream. And as you're walking through the forest, you come across a very familiar clearing. There's a couple of blood stains on some of the trees and part of an intestine laying there that's been gnawed. You recognize this from where you were ambushed a couple of days ago.
Ooh.
But you follow the river along.
I want to just point at one of the blood patches and look at Flint. Just be like, hey, look where you died.
Don't remind me.
Look, that's yours.
Point at every blood patch and then point at fucking Ovani like, hey, look.
Oh,
oh God.
So, after another couple of hours, you reach there probably about 5 p.m.-ish. The sun is kind of behind you and very orangey at this point. You know, you come across like slightly cobbled almost pathway. And you recognize that this was the place that was talked about, like, in terms of this was like the pathway that leads you towards the temple, or yeah. What was the temple.
And this is also the place where all the carts were disappearing or like being attacked?
This is like, it's where they said that it might be going on.
Hmm. Okay.
There might be something happening
can I
here.
Have a little look around and see if I can see like any broken carpets or anything.
Make an investigation.
Can I have a look around for anything that looks like it's been partially dissolved?
14.
Make an investigation. 3.
23.
Oh.
Close.
Okay, so with the two of you looking around, you see a couple of, like, fairly large trees that have been dissolved, like, halfway through and then have splintered and fallen over. You see some, like, ragged tarps kind of strung from treetops. Some like wooden planks that have been snapped and shattered and splintered across the ground. You even see one or two merchant corpses that have had like everything picked off them. Strangely not eaten, but everything like clothing and item wise has been picked clean off them. And from what you can see, this pathway keeps twisting and turning and goes up towards the top of a hill. And there is where the river connects to it. The river is actually coming down the hill.
Can I follow the path up to about like 30-ish feet before the end of it?
You can't see the end of it. The end of it is like right at the top.
Yeah, but I want to just, you know, follow the path and when I get close to the end.
You know, point this out to the rest of the group as well. We'll just say, big cousin, probably that way.
Cousin?
It dissolves things.
Oh.
That point.
Yeah.
Those aren't... Never mind.
Yeah, so as you get closer to the top, you hear like shuffling and crunching, you hear water flow, and you hear like almost like thick slimy ooze kind of squelching around something.
I would like to, before anything happens, I only use one of my class abilities I've never used.
No.
Okay. Hold on, Ashley's talking.
I only use one of my class abilities I've never used.
Okay.
I'm going to use Life Sense.
Okay.
I can sense the presence of any creature that is not a construct, elemental, or undead within 60 feet of me for a minute.
Okay.
I cannot discern their location or type. I can just know there is things in that range. I can also designate as many things I want to be ignored. so I'm going to ignore the party. And
you don't sense anything within 60 feet of you.
Can I just slowly sneak up then until I do? Because it lasts a minute.
That's going to be... what? Okay, for that, what marching order are you going in?
I mean, I'd like to like stealth and try and lead the way.
Okay, so you're going to be in the front. Give me a second.
I'll be towards the back.
I'll probably motion Kyrie to be, like, near me.
Yeah, I'm sticking to Gooey. Because last time he kind of saved me.
I'll go in the middle.
Okay, give me one second. So, Little Bird's at the front. Who's behind Little Bird?
Me.
Okay, so...
Kyrie.
Who's behind Breeze? Is that going to be Glynn?
I will be wherever the party wants. I'm just here to help.
I push him in front of me.
Yeah.
Captain, where are you?
I am somewhere in the middle. I think I'm next to... In between... I don't know. Ah.
In between, like,
maybe next
Kyrie
to Glynn's?
Yeah. Put me
and
there.
Then the two mages are at the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd like to, like, stay 10 feet ahead.
If you get ambushed by the back... Ooh.
So you want to be 10 feet ahead, yeah?
Yeah, like, well, like, just ahead and, like, trying to...
Make a stealth check for me.
That's a 23.
Yeah, you passed.
It's an 18 However, plus 5.
The rest of the party is behind you and are not stealthing. So...
He could ask, to be fair.
Yeah, a little bad, could I ask?
No, yes, I don't even think they'd bother. I think they just want to try and get some sort of information before everything breaks out.
So, if you look at my screen... This is what you said your marching order is. As you get towards the bottom of the steps, the noise stops. The crunching stops. Everything noise-wise stops, apart from the squelching. And then you hear footsteps, but slightly wet.
60 feet?
No, not 60 feet. Further back than that.
Oh, good.
And you hear something say, step forward.
I'm gonna, like... Is the thing in front of me like a staircase or is it like a bridge?
Yeah, that's a staircase.
I wanna just slowly climb up to my little white head peeking over.
Okay.
Just wanna just, like, peek my little head over.
As you peek over, you see... on the opposite side of this canyon, a very dark-robed tabaxi. Although the token doesn't have it, because I didn't add it, they're wearing a very similar mask to one that you've seen before. But this time, rather than having the handprint or Calanthea's horn, on either side it has two long mandibles that come out on either side. And as he sees you, he goes, I figured you would come.
I'm just gonna squawk questioningly.
You've been involving yourself in matters that you shouldn't, haven't you? You and the rest of your party.
Just shrug, like, eh.
I would request that you, stop. I'm not one to forcibly stop you, but if you do keep getting involved in our plans, it would probably end badly for you. As he's doing this, the rest of you gonna walk up? Or are you going to stay where you are, or what?
Yeah, I'm going to walk.
I'm just going to, like, well. Put my hand out behind me and be like, come here.
Okay, is everyone walking up?
Gooby's going to be, like, 10 feet away.
It was unfortunately at this point that our editing software decided it wanted to stop recording video. I am extremely sorry, but I promise we fix the issue from this episode onwards. Please just bear with and try and visualize the rest of it in your mind. I'm very sorry.
Like a little bit, yeah. Move down two spaces.
Like there?
There we go.
Okay. Glenn.
Yeah?
And then Ovani. Are you going to hang back as well, Ovani?
I'm gonna stay right behind Kyrie.
Okay. You're sniffing Kyrie's ass. You're like, man, these steps are really, like, in-depth. Like, holy shit. Trying to be respectful.
Oh, you saw that meme in the...
So, as the rest of you approach, the tabaxi notices Glint and smiles and says, well... I guess you're aware of us now. Took you long enough. He is then going to throw his arms to the side, like outwards, almost like in a cross. And you watch as this black ooze drips from his fingertips and creates almost like a sphere of tar around him. And then he disappears. As he disappears... You notice two creatures start to click and move forward. They have a similar, like, tar on parts of their bodies. Their eyes are, like, faded over and white. But you know that these are the wormlings that have been causing trouble. And there is two of them. I need you all to roll initiative.
20.
Okay, is that a nat or a dirty?
Dirty.
Kyrie.
It was a nat 20, so 22.
Oh, fuck.
Carry first.
Flynn.
It's a 5.
Clint.
14.
Ovani.
It's a 9.
Gooey.
2.
What the fuck?
I rolled a natural 1 on initiative, plus 1.
Oh.
Natural 1. Oh god, you're fucking last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, regardless. Right.
1 second.
Actually, what happens if 2 people roll natural 1?
It then goes to the...
whoever's got highest dex.
Okay.
Or initiative.
So, as the dude disappears in tar, or like the tar-like substance, the other two, you see and hear two, the black wormlings, black dragon wormlings, start to click and creak and move, almost like marionette puppets. They have almost like a thin layer of that black tar-like substance over them, apart from their eyes and like the flesh on their wings. Their eyes are like glazed over white, and it doesn't look like they're actually alive. It looks like they're being controlled while they're dead. But top of the round is Kairi.
Oh, so one of the dragons is closer to us, I see.
There's one there.
Yeah.
And one there.
Okay.
And that's just a skeleton that's submerged.
That's also a dragon we have to fight.
Not yet.
I imagine that they are very living and have not been classed as undead.
I mean, they're not undead in the sense of they've came back to life. They are corpses that are being essentially marionetted. So they're not classified as undead, they're just dead.
Oh, okay. I would like to walk over to like the top right of Little Bird, ready my shield, and then I would like to pull out a scripture from my pocket and cast Shield of Faith on... I'll cast Shield of Faith on Captain.
Ooh. Okay, so you watch as Kairi pulls out this scripture and reads from it, and the words begin to glow slightly. And emanating from Captain now is almost like a shield shape of glowy blue. How long does that last?
It's a casting time of 1 bonus action, but it'll take my turn.
Yeah, because you've already done.
Up to 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking ages.
Until I get hit and you get plus 2 bonus AC. Yeah.
Okay, is that your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Little Bird. What you gonna do?
What's going to? Oh, I'm gonna get myself fucked and killed.
That sounds great.
The only option I have is sit and wait, which is not a very Little Bird thing to do. Or try and jump the gap.
You do have spells,
five,
though.
10, 15.
I was gonna go from one down.
So from here?
Yeah, from like that little ledge.
The ground doesn't fall under you?
Yeah. So that'd be 5, 10, 15. That'd crumble because it's right on the edge. It'd still be 20.
Do you think I could war run it?
Can I chuck a little bird?
On your turn, yeah.
You know what?
And you'd have to roll for it, otherwise Little Bird is falling in this big hole.
Can I delay my turn?
Yeah. It is now Black Dragon Wormling 1's turn, which is the one at the top here. It is going to go. It's flying, by the way. It unfurls its wings with like big heavy creaking, and spreads them, takes a big jump up, and then 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, and is going to not do anything. It's going to stay there, flapping its wings. Every time its wings like come down, you see little flecks of that tar stuff flying off and landing in the water. And then it's Glint's turn.
I guess we all need to get over there in some way.
I mean, they're gonna make their way to you as well, so...
Yeah, but I can fly.
Yes, you can.
Hey, how big is Little Bird?
What's up?
Little Bird's like 4 feet.
How much strength would you make me have to be able to carry Little Bird?
Carry Little Bird on top of flying?
Yeah. I've got big old talents for feet.
I'd say it would probably take you up to medium. So you'd probably get like 15 feet of flight before you would be too heavy.
So what you're saying is reasonably, at 10 feet of flight, I could just chuck a Little Bird.
You have to make a strength check for it.
Let's see. 5, 10.
If Little Bird's
and you'd false. Be moving at half speed yeah. because you're carrying Little Bird.
I can very easily fly over there and just be in front of it. Also, they're coming over here, you said?
Yeah, they're going to make their way to you, too.
I should probably just let the party be able to deal with them, then. Who's that with the yellow circle?
That is Kyrie.
Can you move me? Catty corner left above them?
Yes, I can.
Okay, cool. And how large are these? Are these blue walls or just blue, like, siding?
That's blue siding.
Okay, so not walls.
No,
that's great. So, what are those? Are those blue things gems? Because if so, I can tell.
Oh, in the eyes?
Yeah.
No, that's just residual stuff from the model that I can't get rid of.
Damn, if those were gems,
I'd be fucking good eating!
If they were gems, you wouldn't even be able to get them. I would have already stolen them.
Oh, I could at least appraise them for you. Okay, give me... I'm going to detect magic. Because okay. We should do that. Let me make sure... I'm pulling up my spells right now. I'm waiting for the freaking PHP to load. PHD to load, yeah.
Same.
Okay. Yeah. Within 30 feet of me, in, like, a globe, I sense magic.
5, 10, 15, 20... Okay.
I sense any magic's happening in that area.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking magic. It's emanating really strongly from that black tar stuff.
Cool. I would love to act because I would love to do that, but I can't actually tell about of actions. But yes, detect magic.
Whoops.
Yes, I would love to use detect magic to tell what magic that specific thing is. Yeah, I have to pick a thing with the action. I can't just detect all the magic. I can see like a faint aura.
Yeah, all that black tar stuff that's on them is very strongly emanating magic.
Okay, cool. No, okay. It's just... Okay, cool. Great. My turn's over.
Okay. Next, it is the other black dragon wormling, which is going to go 5, 10, 15, 20 with its flight. Turn this direction.
Can I take my turn?
Yeah. Do you want to go before? Wait, can you go mid-turn?
I don't know. I'm happy to wait until the end of its turn as well.
Yeah, otherwise that's going to throw me off.
No worries.
And it is going to, along the line that Kyrie is on here, do acid breath. You watch as it just... Oh, that's too long. Whoops. Oh no, that's right, it's coming from its mouth. So here, I need you to make a dex saving throw. It unhinges its jaw and its tongue kind of lulls out dull and grey, and you watch as these two pockets on either side of its lower jaw. Oh, you watch as these two pockets on its lower jaw start dripping this like faint green liquids that's kind of sizzling on the ground. 6 turn recharge.
Don't forget about the concentration spell.
I'm getting to that. I'm not gonna do the damage roll for it. I'm gonna do what it says because that's probably better for you. You take 22 damage. You watch as this acid sprays all over Kairi, the metal on her shield and on the armor starts bubbling and popping and kind of dribbling and almost like it's melting. You see like part of Kairi's neck is now bloody and like starting to already blister up.
Does the deck save half her damage?
Yes, it does. But Kairi failed it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay, that changes what I was going to do.
It is now... that's going to be its turn. You want to take your turn now, little bird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry to Ivani, whose turn it is next, but...
I'm also sorry.
Sad.
I wonder
what I'm more sorry about Kairi, to be honest.
Kairi's not in a fucking good way already.
I can't do
anything. Concentration
about
as well, by the way.
Oh,
by the
yeah.
Way, by the way, if I went in level 2, if I went in level 2, I'd be dead.
I'm gonna do crit on that health.
Yeah.
Critted.
You need to roll for your concentration as well, so you need to roll an 11 or higher con. Not con, fucking.
Yeah, con.
Yeah.
7 plus 4, 11.
Oh!
Okay.
Oh,
I'm gonna let that keep up.
Oh no!
So, you maintain concentration.
Is the acid just on the floor? Has it dissipated?
It dissipated. It's like an acid spray, like breath.
Oh, brilliant. I'm gonna need new armor after this.
Yeah, you are. Right, what are you doing, little bud?
I would like to walk 3 steps to the right.
1, 2, 3.
And then I would like to reach out and put my hand on the dragon and cast Inflict Wounds.
Yes.
Okay. Just quickly roll a d20 for me. Of
18.
Con.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
18 plus 1 then.
As you place your hand on it, the tar kind of starts wrapping around your fingers, but then recoils. Do your Inflict Wounds.
Just for some flavor. I would just like to say... Okay. Like their eyes turn black and they just look at the dragon like, fucking no! And just put the hand on its head and like just necrotic energy. Only spell attack. 16?
16 does not hit.
Huh?
They have 17.
Oh, you fucking shit. Well.
I was going to make it higher because of the black tar stuff, but I was like, no.
There's 2 of them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're dead.
the color just like fades from Little Brown's eyes and she's like, oh, fuck! And then they're going to point at the other one and use Death Target, which is a bonus action.
Gimme.
Okay, what does Death Target do?
I designate one creature within 50 feet. I do an additional damage of weapons type and I can sacrifice a spell slot to give myself advantage.
Okay.
It designates for 1 minute and it's not concentration.
Okay.
It's just that I pointed at that thing and just like, that needs to fucking die. And I just pinged it, you know?
Yeah. Enemy here.
Mozambique.
Ivani, what would you like to do? Now it's your turn.
Yes. Yeah. So I will stay right there and never get closer. And I'm gonna cast a spell, I think.
You are currently lower than them, so you would be casting, I'd say with disadvantage, because you're a good, like, 10, you know where they are, but you're like 10 feet below eye line of them.
So what if I move to the right, so 3 steps to the right, would I be able to see them?
All right.
Or like,
you'd be
least,
able to see that one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was my thought as well. Then I'm going to use something. Right. So Ovani puts his hands forward as he's casting a spell, as he usually does. And out of his hands, the skin of his hand starts to burn and his fire starts to emit from him. Damaging him. Maybe not the best idea, but... These flames then, they sort of gather in three different orbs. A little bit like Gooey did with his magic missile. And with one flick of his finger, he shoots out these three bolts, and I cast Scorching Ray.
Oh, yeah! Isn't Little Bird in the way of that?
No?
Rob, I can talk at the dragon, right?
These are tar or tar-like.
What?
You say that they are tar or tar-like.
They have a tar-like substance over them.
Because I was like, if they're being burned, Jesus Christ.
Can I just hit the deck?
It causes an environmental disaster.
Because if you burn it tar, it'll just...
I'm just thinking... Okay, yeah, so it's not like an actual beam that comes out.
Yeah, it's actually like an attack I can make on a specific target.
Yeah. I just like to check, because if it was a beam, yeah, Little Bird is definitely in the way. And you would just hit them with three lots of it.
Yeah. Definitely.
So you need to make three ranged spell attacks.
Yes. Let me see. That's a 15 plus 2 for ability modifier, I believe. So 17 on one.
That one hits.
Yeah. 12 plus 4 plus 2, 14.
Doesn't hit.
Why is it plus 2?
And then 15 plus 2. The plus 2 is my spellcasting ability modifier.
It should be plus proficiency as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also proficiency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for attack, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Oh, so that's another plus 2. So that's 19. 13 plus. No, 12 plus 2. 14. So
they
17.
All hit, so yeah.
Yeah, they all hit.
Go ahead and roll damage for them each.
Yeah, damage is 2d6 fire.
One.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So go ahead and roll fucking 66.
Plus my attack modifier. Let's see. Plus 4. Oh wait, it's each ray has a plus 4, doesn't it?
On damage?
Doesn't? Wait, I have to check that.
I don't know how spells work, Bill.
I don't know how that works, actually.
Wait, what's the question, sorry?
So, it says make a ranged attack spell for each ray, yeah. So I assume each ray has its own ability. Yes.
You have to roll 3 individual rolls for each ray.
Yeah, but does the spell attack bonus apply to each ray, or
yes.
Only the spell?
Yeah,
or to each ray?
Individual attacks.
Yeah.
Oh, so let me do it. I'll just do each spell, each ray individually then, so 2d6 and plus 4. First one is 13, 14, 10.
Okay, give me a second.
Hell yeah!
So 13, and then 14 takes it to and then 10.
That's
okay.
Right, you do additional fire damage, don't you?
You watch as Ivani...
right now.
You watch as Ivani puts out their hands, the heat... The sheer heat coming from their hands starts to cook and peel the flesh away from their fingers and their palm. And then three thin rays of fire pierce into this wormling. One hitting the neck, one hitting through the wing and then through the torso. And then the other one whipping round the side of Little Bird and piercing head to fucking like ass. And this dragon... wormling, sorry. Screams out and falls and clatters down into the fucking water.
Next, I would like to use my bonus action.
Okay.
Yes.
The murder has not finished.
No, it does not. Not by a far reach. So after I cast this spell, my hands are slightly, and arms are slightly burned.
Oh yeah, and how much did you take from that?
Three points of damage.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So from these burned hands, I gather my magical powers and I try to cast another spell with a bonus action.
Okay.
And I try to sort of rip out little bloodlets from my arm.
Yeah.
And I shoot them towards the other dragon that I see. And I use Ichor Needles.
5,
spell.
10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. What's the range on it? 60, right?
60, yeah, it's in range.
Okay.
Should be.
So, roll for... what does it say on it?
So, Make a ranged attack spell against the target. On hit, take the target hits 2d4 piercing damage.
Okay.
So, fairly similar. D20. That's a 13 plus 2 plus 2. 17.
That hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
Yes. What did they say? 2d4? Yeah. 2d4 plus 4. That's a 9.
You watch as these little bloodlets from Ovani's arms kind of warble towards their fingertips, and you notice a glowing on one of their hands. As they flick the bloodlets, they turn into thin needles. You guys have seen this spell before. This is the spell that the thing that was wearing the mask with Calanthea's horn used against you all.
Yes.
And almost like fucking bullets, these things just whiz past you and pierce into the body of this thing, and it kind of reels back a bit. How much did it deal?
9 damage.
9.
Okay. And similarly, I also screech out in pain as I hurt myself again with this spell.
Wait, I need to fucking do maths now.
Oh, that's another 2 damage for me.
Oh boy, Ivani, so you're at 21.
Yes.
This thing is... Okay. Maths is not my strong suit, and being a DM, that kind of fucking sucks. Okay, is that your turn done?
Yeah, it is my turn, yes.
I don't know what the others are going to think about you using a spell from a fucking cultist, but pop off B, I guess. Flynn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, quick question. Are you able to use, like, a bonus action before your actual action?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, good to know. I'm going to go up next to where Glint is.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to say to the creature in front of us. That's the word. So, you see what we just did to your friend? You're next! And I'm going to use Imposing Figure, so I need it to make a Wisdom saving throw.
Okay, that's going to be a disadvantage because it's not actually using its fucking brain.
Technically it says all creatures within 60 feet need to make a Wisdom saving
throw.
all enemies.
Okay.
So, if that thing is still alive...
Unless you consider one of us an enemy.
You say like, shit to the dragon.
I guess I should make
Kyrie's
a saving throw then.
Yeah. All of you make wisdom saving.
It rolled a 7.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. So, where is it? On a failure, the target is frightened until the end of my next turn.
Okay.
That's all it does. And then I'm going to shoot it in the face with my crossbow.
Yeah. Pop off, babe.
Ooh, please actually be good. Ooh, that's a 22.
That hits.
Cool.
Where is my damage? that's a 9 for damage.
I'm
rolling suddenly very good.
Yeah. What happened to to Flynn?
Actually, decided to be confident.
As Flynn starts yelling at this wormling. And it starts recoiling a bit. The tar on it ripples and keeps it in place, though. And as it's in this moment of almost like unsureness, the brain is wanting it to back away, but the tar is like, or tar-like substance is holding it, its body in place. Flint just cocks an arrow and shoots it. And it hits like just below where one of the horns is and cracks the horn, and it splinters off and lands in front of you guys, by the way. It's still got some of that black tar on it, but it doesn't seem to be writhing or moving anymore. And the dragon opens its mouth to let out a scream, but the tar like comes up from its lower jaw, attaches to the top half, forces the jaw closed again.
I'm taking that horn as a souvenir, just to let you guys know. No one touch it but me.
Maybe. Glint looks at it like, kind of looks like a rock. Glint picks it up, takes a big bite, just, that shit be busted. Gooey, what would you like to do?
Okay, so from Gooey's perspective, they haven't actually seen anything happen yet. They've just been...
You saw that one kind of die over the hedges.
Okay. Let's move one space diagonally in sort of the northwest and then move up. So that's 5.
Oh, why isn't it moving you?
Oh, God.
Oh, there we go.
And then, then 3 more up. Okay.
Oh.
And do I see the massive dragon skeleton in the water?
Yes.
Okay. Gooey just sort of looks up and says, "That'll work." And Gooey's just going to sort of like place the staff in between them, point the crystal directly at the wormling, and starts making a infinity symbol over and over, with one hand sort of like raising up as well. I'd like it to make a intelligence saving throw, please.
Give me 1 second. It'll be with disadvantage again. Mm-hmm. Nat 1.
Okay, so from everyone else's perspective, a little bit of sort of like purple glow appears around Gooey's hand and sort of like then appears over the little wormling's head. From the wormling's perspective, the massive skeleton beneath them starts to rumble as the hand and arm of the dragon actually comes up and starts to crush them as I cast Phantasmal Force.
Oh.
And they do hear and feel this, so they take 5 points of psychic damage, and they believe that it is real. So they can technically stop flying for now.
Yeah, they tumble into the water. Ah, wrong one. I know the scale doesn't match up, but fuck it, yeah. They're in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's writhing around and thrashing in the water.
Just look to Kara and say, "Are you okay?"
You wouldn't get an answer from Kairi. Just like intense, like anger, like really bad anger.
All the wolf fur that you got from session one has been singed off your armor.
Oh,
no.
And
the memoir of the first time you all met gone.
That's the end of my turn.
Okay. Start of the round again. Kairi, what are you gonna do, bitch?
So, Kairi is absolutely fucking pissed. Like, next level pissed. Right?
I would like to rage.
This is gonna be, by far, you're gonna have to let me know if I'm allowed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For a start, I'm gonna infuse my sword with a lightning rune.
Yeah. That's a bonus action to do that.
Oh, okay, I might run out of actions doing this. I was gonna infuse it with a lightning rune, literally just run and jump and try to, like, dive and stab it.
That's like a 60-foot drop, bud.
Yeah, but, like, you see the dragon, how it's, like, going from our ledge...
You have wings, right?
All the way down. Right?
Yeah, but most of that's underwater.
Kairi can fly.
How far does that go down?
About 60 foot in total. Right.
So that one finger is like 60 foot.
What do you mean? Oh, the fucking arm, the wing that's coming up.
Yeah. That one little thingy is like 60 foot.
No, where the wormling is, from that, if you were to jump, hit that, and then go down with it, that would be like 60 foot from where the wormling is, straight down.
Yeah,
wormling...
so I'm going to use the... I would use the wing as like leverage of the...
That's still a lot of fall damage, but go ahead, V. Don't let me stop you!
Fuck it, I'll do it, right?
Rolling a character.
You'll have no way to get down there, by the way.
It's 60 foot. Gooey can easily go, level 2. Right. I'm gonna do this. This is miraculous. I'm gonna do exactly what I said. Try to pounce down on it.
Okay, so that's... you use your bonus action to imbue your sword. You watch as Kairi takes out the rune, and almost like a whetstone strikes it along the edge of the blade, and you watch as this faint white yellow crackling of energy.
So how much extra damage does that do?
An extra d6, and you're going 5.
Do you want me to make an acrobatics check?
Yes, I do.
Right, okay. I'm gonna have to roll a lot here. 18, not a problem. Shouldn't be a problem, I hope.
Again, you also have wings.
Yeah, you can fly 15 feet.
Probably push myself off the edge, sort of like kicking.
Okay, so you're gonna jump on and attack it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you watch as after Kyrie's like strike the rune across the blade, sprints, uses the edge of the thing, unfurls her wings, and starts soaring like downwards, blade in hand, ready to strike the thing. Because this thing's at the water's edge because John made it fall down.
So I've just realized electric and water don't go well together, but we'll get to that. I'm gonna obviously try to hit it, and then can I divine smite after it, or is that too much?
I mean, technically you can divine smite whenever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
As long as you hit.
I'll just obviously try to, like, classic paladin, just longsword straight down into it with two hands.
Okay, I need you to make a attack roll, another acrobatics roll, because you're trying to land on it and skewer it.
Right, okay. 14 plus 4, 18 for the attack.
That hits.
Right. Acrobatics, crit, success.
Oh, okay.
Hell yeah!
Oh, fuck yeah.
Look at that. That is beautiful.
This is amazing.
This will probably kill it.
Oh.
2d8 for
damage.
A first level spell slot.
Here we go. This is going to be some damage. So
I'll give you advantage on it as well.
Advantage?
Yeah.
Just on the longsword hit, okay.
Yeah, no. On the actual damage of it. So roll,
I roll them twice?
Yeah, and then take the highest for it.
Right, so do you want me to do all the adding up and then just hit the highest?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I'll get back to you. Right, so first roll.
Because you rolled a nat 20, I'm going to half the amount of falling damage you take as well.
So first one's 30 flat.
Welcome to being a paladin.
33.
33 is the max health of them.
Get fucked, I guess.
Kyrie strikes the rune across the blade, crackling with energy. As they run and they're swinging the sword while they sprint, this lightning trail is following behind it ever so faint. They leap off and unfurl their wings. Feathers kind of flutter as they do so. They use a beat of their wings to get a bit further and then plummet down, legs kind of flailing slightly. They grasp their blade in two hands and pierce this thing. And as they pierce it, you watch as, because of the fucking strength of it and the divine smite or whatever it is, this white lightning bolt almost like erupts out of it and goes up into the sky. And this thing is just like, from where it hit and the sheer impact of it, has almost split it down the middle. However, due to the fall, you take 17 damage. You're unconscious, bud.
I'm fine with that.
But that's combat over, and we're gonna take a break.
I'm fine to be laying after that. I'm fine to be laying in a pool of water. Oh.
That was amazing.
I'm gonna die happily.
Primus is a high-quality, family-owned and affordable dice company that are passionate about their beautiful and well-balanced die, who are sick of working under people and wanted to concentrate on what they love. Their die are made in large batches, which helps keep costs down but also ensures they're never low on stock. Who needs a curved edge die when there are gorgeous pieces like these just a click away? Not only that, they've got clothings, pins, dice towers, dice bags, and even dice trays. And with their Kickstarter beginning in only 7 days, there's no reason not to pick yourself up some. After this spectacular display,
the first two people...
The first two people to notice that Kairi is now sinking and is unconscious are Glint and Flint.
Glint and Flint.
Ah, shit! Fuck! Okay. We need to do something now. And Flint is going to get out.
Give me a second, I'm gonna start a timer.
Oh no, okay. Flint's gonna get out all of their rope, which comes to 100 feet of rope.
I would
just start tying them together.
To activate my minor water walking ring.
Climb the rope. Okay, you're gonna climb the rope.
I'm gonna hand one end of the rope to Glint. Say, hold this. You're strong. I'm assuming. Okay, cool.
Ashley's apparently walking on the rope down there.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
I would like to. So, little bird, what's the plan here?
We'll go grab Kairi and tie the rope to her.
Okay. So. To make pulling Kairi easier, since I can do it many times, can I go ahead and cast Reduce on Kairi until Kairi is small?
Can you see? Perception. Because Kairi is... Yeah, but Kairi's also sinking and 60 feet down.
Yeah.
Under the water?
No. From... One second, let me stop the timer.
Oh, there.
From
okay.
where you are, down that way is 60 feet. And then it's water, and then Kairi sinking.
Oh, well, I can. Let me see.
Time has started.
I got a base 18, plus my perception is, I think, 2.
How far does Enlarge Reduce go?
That's all I was trying to say is it's only 30 feet. If there's 60 feet down, that's not going to do anything, but if you're letting me.
Make me big.
Oh, yeah, I could just make Ashley big. I'll just make a little bird big. I'll just make a little bird gargantuan.
How long does it take to cast?
It's just a regular action.
Okay.
So little bird is now 20 feet by 20 feet.
Big bird.
So four square by 4
squares. So I would like to jump down next to where Kairi landed.
Step down.
You have 20 by 20.
That's
4x4. Yeah. So, I'll just do 1d6. Because 10 feet is still...
That's fine.
Okay, you take 3 damage.
That's fine. Great. I would like to fish out Kairi's body.
Okay. Kairi, I need you to make a death save, because the timer ran out, as Ashley said.
So, what's the mod for death saving?
Nothing. Roll a d20.
Just roll a d20, baby.
Oh, 9.
Oh.
Failed your first one.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. What's everyone doing?
It's okay.
I mean,
do
I notice this?
Down there grabbing them.
Does that stay in my character sheet now?
No.
Until the next long rest.
Yeah.
That's one fail.
I'm assuming you've all kind of gathered at the edge as Little Bird is down there grabbing Kairi.
Yeah.
And as soon as I can pull Kairi out, I would like to use one of my healing word salves.
Just slap it.
All over Kairi's face and body.
Yeah. Kairi is melting, or was melting from acid, and then essentially fucking belly flops.
Just tell you what, I'll use 2 of them.
How are you, like, how big are you? Like 20 foot by 20 foot or 40 foot by 40 foot?
20 by 20, I think.
You're like 38 by 38.
Right, so 38 by 38. How little does a healing root look in your hand?
Very small.
Teeny tiny.
It's not going to be delicate, Rob. It's going to be like slapping.
No, I'm going to try and be delicate.
That's 8 health back for you.
Yay. From the
little bird, and I give a potion to the little bird.
I just got a pocket.
Should I use this? Oh. Sure, I guess you can have it. Never mind.
I spent the money.
No, those were the ones that fucking Nyax bought as well.
Nyax got an extra one because I spent 70 gold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got 2 and then Little Bird got 1.
just pocket it and just gently place Kairi back up on the platform.
Sure.
What's happened to the slime that was on the wormlings when they're in the water?
You wouldn't really be able to see from the distance you're at.
Can I see?
You can see, yeah. Make a perception.
Ooh, that's another 12. 16.
As the creature has, like, died and fallen into the water and stuff, rather than, like, dissipating into the water or staying on the creature, it just fades like it was never there to begin with.
We've been boozled.
Hmm.
I'm gonna pick up the horn, the piece of the dragon.
Oh,
not
can
dragon.
I climb back out?
Yeah. I'm gonna pick up the piece of the thing I hit off.
Yes. So you would have a black dragon wormling horn.
Nice.
A full one. It is fairly sizable.
I want to talk to Glenn and just be like, "Can you make me smaller?" I was.
I might need a little bit of rest first, but yes, I can do that.
Can you make me less big?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll fade in a minute, don't worry.
Just, little bird looks very, very uncomfortable.
Large bird.
Glint, meanwhile, is thinking back to, like, since Glint actually is small for his species, he's, like, thinking back to his time as a runt back in his village, like, I got to make somebody else big.
Little bird is just absolutely fucking rotund.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go yell to Little Bird, if you eat enough food, you'll grow.
Little Bird is also 64 feet tall.
Oh, jeez.
Why does my speed keep, my fucking height keep increasing?
Oh, no. You see, it doubles each time, and I used all of my uses of it on you.
Oh, you fuck.
You are enormous.
You take up the entire screen. That's how big you are.
So, why is that making perception for me?
We're taking a group picture, and all you can see is a little bird's toe.
Because you would have to be stud in that fucking massive thing, otherwise the entire pathway would crumble and everyone would fall.
Yeah, I'd just stay down there. I didn't realize I was that large.
Hey, you're large.
What was the role you asked us to do, sorry?
Perception.
Yeah, because you're really
everyone?
Fucking tall.
No, 18. Discussion. Oh, no.
Okay. So, from where you are, you can see in the distance near the shoreline quite a large fire.
Fantastic.
It's in the direction you came.
I'm going to tell everyone and then try and get them to move out of the way so I can climb out.
Yeah, let's all get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
To point over, like, roughly towards where it is and be like, that's a big fire. Why? Also, please move. I would like to not be in war. Or, I guess, on war.
Yeah, on.
As Little Bird shimmies around trying to get out, the rest of the skeleton kind of crumples and falls into the water. Big yes. Splashes, Little Bird's got wet toes.
My toes!
At least you're not wearing shoes.
Yeah, fuck shoes.
I don't think Kairi would have opened her eyes until she heard fire, because she was kind of thinking that she was dead. She would have opened her eyes to a massive Little Bird and just was like, oh, this is death.
This is hell.
Yeah. And once being put down, I think she would just like close her eyes and be in like a in kind of just like a
comatose state.
Well, sort of like just an environment with like she's just kind of just talking about God with her eyes closed, and then she would hear fire and be like straight up.
Is there a fucking navigation skill?
I think people normally call it like survival, yeah.
Make a survival check for me.
Me?
Yeah. Everyone?
Oh, just a little bit.
Gotcha.
Are you sure?
Your organs are too big.
Are you absolutely sure? Are you absolutely sure? Because that's an 8.
Oh, you have no fucking clue what's on fire.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I mean, Little Bird's pretty big. I'm pretty sure Little Bird can just point and hold their hand out and walk forward and we'd all figure it out.
Little Bird would also probably destroy a large section of the rainforest.
I mean, that's
one bird responsible for all deforestation.
What if you make Little Bird fly?
This party continues to cause environmental disasters.
From Little Bird God Killer to Little Bird Cop Killer to Little Bird Environment Killer.
Planet Killer.
Little Bird God. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to try and head towards the fire.
Okay.
And my fucking Big Bird. 64 foot bird.
Follow not so little bird.
Yeah.
So Kyrie's absolutely
you're 8 health.
Obliterated at the minute, but again, she's not going to show it, and she's just going to keep running.
I'm going to give one of my potions to Kyrie, not Little Bird, this time.
It's going to sound like a dick from me as a player. She probably wouldn't accept it.
Well, more for me.
Kyrie, take your fucking medicine, you're dying.
I'm just going to telepathically.
She'd be like, no, I'm fine.
I'm just going to telepathically be the carry, like, no, look, if you die again, I'm not fucking saying you.
Well, can I not just use cure wounds on myself?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'll just use cure wounds on myself.
There you go.
Let me get the cure wounds page.
DA?
I should have, like, 20 pages by now.
Plus your wisdom.
1d8 plus spellcasting ability modifier.
Which is your wisdom? I think.
Are you sure?
I have no idea.
Paladin the wisdom, same as cleric.
Oh yeah, and it's yeah. Okay. Same
difference. Spellcast. Spellcasting is charisma.
Oh, freaking hell! That's right.
It was wisdom, it's minus one.
Yeah, you're a sugar daddy for God. That's right.
Oh,
you're a sugar daddy for God.
Well, warlocks are basically that as well. Paladins are just holy versions.
Bad rolls had to come sooner or later. I get 4 health back. So I'm at 12. Brilliant.
Great.
Better than none.
Yeah, that's true. So y'all are heading in the direction of the fire.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes a fair while because, like, you know, the direction you're heading, it does take up a good, like, 6-7 hours. I'm guessing you use Gooey's fucking levitate to check on it every now and again. But after a while, the fire stops and you just see smoke rising. And even through the trees and stuff that you're in, you can still see the smoke. And as you get closer, you can smell, like, stronger and stronger, like, burnt ground and wood and, like, almost like flesh. And you're probably about 120 feet out. You get back to the point that... it's farther than 120. I was lying, I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
Fucking lies.
You get back to the point where you killed the guys beforehand. The fucking...
Bandits?
Yeah, the bandit merchant people. And you notice that the smoke is coming from a familiar direction. And it's Basinth.
Shit.
Oh, fuck. They could probably, like, rush in.
Eret.
It's still a fair while away. If you remember when the bandits led you out, it was like 2 hours of fucking walking.
I'm pretty sure it's had like 10 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, it's like 10 minutes of fucking walking.
You just didn't say it was like very long.
Yeah, as you get there, you can see all the walls are burnt down. You can see Gripply, like, charred corpses dragged out to the front. And you see Eren there. He's got, like, a big burn scar across. An active burn. It wouldn't be a scar at this point. Coming, like, across one side of him, kind of half on his jaw, and then coming up under his cheek and under his eye. His eyes are a little bit cloudy. His clothes are all smoldered and torn up. You see him frantically, like, dragging another Gripply, charred Gripply.
Am I still large?
It would have taken you a fair while to get back. Your largeness has probably wore off.
Okay. I was going to say, I'd probably just run up and start helping him anyway.
Okay, as you get up, Eren, turns on you with a knife.
Just going to hold my hands up in front of me like, oh, no, it's all good.
The mayor, everyone, they're in there.
I'm going to hand in one of my healing group salves, and I'm just going to tell everyone that I'm fucking going in and going to save as many people as I can.
Rubbing it on himself, he instantly turns around and starts rubbing it on one of the grip leads, who you can tell at this point is already passed on. As you enter a familiar but different landscape than before, you can still see the pathways that you used to walk down are now covered in soot. And there are still, like, some wood smouldering. A lot of the mud buildings and stuff have kind of, from the heat, cooked and crumpled inwards and collapsed. You can see along the street, like, blood has been splattered in random places. You can see, like, a Gripply arm completely charred, reaching out from underneath some rubble. The entire town has been set ablaze and destroyed.
Shit.
Who do we see around us?
Can I use life sense? I want to detect anything alive within 60 feet.
You detect one or two people, but it's very, very faint.
Can I try to figure out where it is? I mean, life sense doesn't give me a direction.
The vague direction is one building, which is mostly uncharred, but it is completely crumpled in, and there is smoke rising from it. You hear coughing and spluttering, wheezing.
I want to run over and start, like, trying to dig him out.
Make a strength.
Oh, good.
Can I do it as well as it's like an advantage?
That's a 6.
Yeah. Right. Roll with advantage because of Kyrie.
Here's the thing. I'm going to use
10.
The hand when I'm pulling them out with. And that hand is going to be lit on hands.
Well, you can't see the people you're pulling rubble out at the moment.
Oh, do I have to see them?
Yeah, you have to be able to see and touch them.
No, I get it. I'm just going to talk to the other rubble first, though.
Okay, so make it with advantage, Ashley.
Yeah, 10. I've got -1 to strength.
As you start pulling out the rubble, you hear some... And as you release one of the rocks and throw it to the side, more rubble collapses down and the wheezing stops.
Oh, well.
What do you mean, oh well?
What happened?
you can see from where you are, some spots have absolutely zero ash on them, and instead are just like charred black dirt. It seems to all connect to one another.
Is Gooey getting any feelings right now?
What kind?
Anything.
I don't know.
Despair.
Okay. Gooey's gonna attempt to help, but kind of doesn't really do well with fire anyway.
Can I, like, check the bar and as many of the house as I can?
The bar is completely smoldered, collapsed. It's now just burnt wood, smoke, ash. But as you run towards the bar, that black part carries on. And it's almost like going in a curve. And you see smoke rising from the other side, almost in like a wall.
Can I figure out what kind of pattern the black line's in?
Make a perception, because you're going to have to run around because it's quite big.
19.
Is there something blocking your way?
From what?
You just sort of saying there was like some fallen rubble?
Yeah. All of the buildings and stuff have kind of collapsed in. Ashley, you would recognize this symbol after running around. It is a very, very large black handprint covering the entire city, the entire town, and where you're used to blue flames, instead is just an arch of a wall of smoke.
Is there anything that the smoke's coming from?
Just from the ground. Everyone who can do magic, though, which I think is everyone apart from Captain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You all get almost there is such a strong magical emanation from this black handprint and stuff. This massive, it covers the entire town. It's such a strong magical aura from it that your stomach is churning and your head is spinning. It's so intense.
I think Little Bear is going to drop to all fours and brace themselves and use detect magic. To try and figure out what kind of school of magic it is.
Okay, give me a
whether
second.
It's celestial or anything.
It would be evocation. But on a scale like you have never seen it.
So what's Eren's armor class and why is it plot?
That's not a question.
If you remember correctly, Eren was right near the gate of the town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude's badly fucking hurt, but...
I guess, after however long running around the town, trying in fucking vain to save anyone, I'd run back out to Eren.
He's... collapsed on the ground on all fours, just sobbing. Next to Gripply, who has passed away.
I'd kneel next to him or in front of him and give him my health potion and make him drink it.
He drinks it and you watch as the burn across his face. It, as a normal health potion would kind of clot wounds and stuff like that, doesn't seem to be happening for this. He does feel a bit better, but the wound is still there.
Okay.
He looks at you. Where were you? They came back. They came back. And begins sobbing again.
I think Lower just falls into a bow and doesn't move.
It just stays there for probably like hours.
Hours?
Like trying to apologize. Trying to, you know.
You want to know. We've never seen anything like this. Even the royals shouldn't be able to do magic like this. Everyone's gone. You watch as a small brigade of peacekeepers, led by Ozak, trot up on horse and carriage. Ozak in full armor, very furrowed look on his face, hops off, looks at Glint, looks at the rest of you, looks at the town. What happened?
I think Lola's still unmoving.
We don't know.
Glint, do you know what happened?
I have no idea. Something about someone coming back?
What do you guys know about this? You were here last.
I would speak to Aaron. We do know of, well, a cult which is symbolized by this one handprint. We see it everywhere. From signs to magic, it's all over. They're to blame. We don't know who they are.
A handprint?
Yes. Do I have the... Is it the napkin?
You still have the napkin and a pamphlet.
I'll hand over.
And a mask. I still have a mask.
You still have pieces of the mask, yeah.
I'll hand over the pamphlet and the napkin and say... We've met some of them many times, but not of this strength.
This is catastrophic level magic. This is if they have access to this level. Tell me, what kind of magic did the other ones that you encountered have? Were they all this scale? What else could they do?
No, it was nothing like this.
I believe they could manipulate blood.
Blood magic? I mean,
yeah,
it's not unheard of, but still not good. Anything else? What did they look like?
I think Little Bird like interrupts and stitches a sentence together, and it just says, they killed our friend.
They murdered one of your group?
Does the Vanny still have Calanthea's horn?
Yeah.
I do, yes.
I think Will Bridges telepathically asks Kalvani to show him the horn.
Yeah, I unpack the horn out of my pack and show it.
Dooley mentioned something about you guys trying to sell a humanoid horn. It's part of the reason we were suspicious of you in the first place.
We didn't try to sell.
Yes, you did.
You did.
No.
I was bad.
Yes, episode 6, you tried to sell it.
You did try to sell it.
No, I tried to show it. I didn't try to sell it. I wanted to know information.
Oh.
That's why I showed it.
No.
I even asked Julie if she knew what it was.
Do you guys have any more information on them? When did you last see them? Or what were they wearing? There must have been some discernible feature about them. Anything.
The leader gave us her name, didn't she? Like, she said
the
it out loud.
The leader of the merchants, yeah.
I'd repeat her
name. I don't
name
think the merchants... Are they related? Like, heavily?
I mean, that's far as
we
know.
We know that she's part of the black market, but she doesn't have... I wouldn't say she has magical capabilities.
Either way, this town was being attacked by... Or, like, you know... ransacked and pledged by these merchants.
Yeah.
And then it burnt down.
Idrin killed. Then, you said.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is not.
I'm pretty sure Idrindan had a stall or a shop in the capital. To think that she was involved in something like this. Is there anything else you can tell me? Glint, did you see anything? Were any of them, did they have anything in common?
This is me thinking out of character. Did I see anything?
I mean, you encountered one of them at the Wyvern thing.
Yeah.
I guess I just described what I saw.
One of the... I haven't heard of magic like that that's been categorized, but if they can do magic on this scale and they have people in their ranks that can control wormlings, that's... This could be a disastrous blow. Please, if you have any more information, please tell me. He gets off his horse and walks over to Eren. And he looks at him up and down and sees that he's distraught. Small one, can you tell me what you saw? Eren looks up, teary-eyed, his eyes very bloodshot. You can see that he's still very much in pain from this burn. Somebody with average-sized person, but black robes, was causing a commotion outside of the gate. They had a gold face covering of some kind. Were asking about something. I didn't hear much. I was in my shop, and then all of a sudden, everything was on fire. And Isaac looks at him and places his hand on his back and gives him a gentle pat and stands up. Glint, I think it's best we report this to the capital. If something on this scale is happening, then we need reinforcements here as soon as possible.
Glint kind of nods in agreement, but you know, turns to that, it's like, will you all be okay without me?
Of course.
I think so.
We'll, as soon as we get to the capital, we'll request more peacekeepers. And smaller Imperial Guards to come and protect the rest of the towns here. Should anything like this happen, we'll be aware. We have ways of maintaining contact. He hands one of you a small stone. I think one of you has a stone similar to this, the contact stone. So you can communicate over long distances with it?
No.
Oh. He hands you... I'm pretty sure one of you had... Either way, he hands you a small stone that fits in the palm of your hand. It's an oval shape, and there are several runes etched into it, and he holds out one similar in his own hand, rubs his thumb across the runes, and then speaks into it, and you can hear his voice from the other stone. Should anything happen, we'll keep you informed, myself and Glint.
I think... Little if bird like moves and kneels in front of Ozak and telepathically to like probably everyone like the party, Eren and Glint and Ozak says, I need to deal with them.
I understand that.
Not gonna get in your way.
Yes, well, we would greatly appreciate your help. If you've dealt with these people in the past, when you're fit and able and you feel ready to, please come and meet us in the capital. I would love to discuss this further, get any information you have. You don't even have to come to the capital if you can't. If you would rather stay and help the peacekeepers protect Cast Vault for the time being, we can still communicate through the stone, gather any information that you have on them, any of their weaknesses, maybe where they come from, that kind of thing. Anything you know would be valuable information that will help us in our cause.
I was just going to say, like, telepathically to Ozak again, and like everyone, Lobar just says, like, you know, as long as the party agrees, I'm going to be making my way to the capital now. Go get paid and then move.
That is entirely up to you. I personally would appreciate if you could stay in Cast Vault, but I understand the urgency. In terms of any gestures towards Aaron. What is your name? Aaron. We'll bring this one with us for questioning. We'll sort him out housing in the capital. What did you do before all of this? I made maps. I had a shop. We'll see to it that you can do the same in the capital. He gestures for Aaron to get up. And what do you wish we do with the Gripply? As he says that, you see a very, very heavily burned and scarred Gripply kind of limp out both legs, dragging one behind, using like a stick with a spike at the end that kind of collapses and falls into a short sword. And he pulls himself back up.
I sprint up to him and use one of the healing spells.
Yeah, again, it doesn't do anything to the burns.
As long as it helps him feel slightly better.
It eases his pain a little, but the burns are still very much there.
Is Ozak here like on horses? Or, like, is there a carriage or anything?
Yeah, Ozak's on. He's on a horse, but there is a carriage as well to take any survivors.
Okay, I just want to kind of, because I do have. Glint is wearing, I mean, a massive cloak even for him. He's just gonna wrap it around air and take him to the carriage.
Okay. As you run out, as you run out and rub this salve on this person, you can see now that the scarring on the left side is very familiar, and that you see it's Reb, the blacksmith who did weapon magic from before. He's like patting you on the shoulder. And you can see, like, his one scarred and mangled eye, like, trembling. His other one is, like, kind of closed. And he's, like, patting you. And you can see, as he opens his mouth, blood starts coming out of it. And you can see someone's cut out his tongue. And where his tongue was, on the bottom of his jaw, there's another small black handprint.
And do his hands look like he's able to use them?
His hands are fine, but he's very shaky, and he is now blind in both of his eyes.
I'm going to pull out my notebook and like put it in his lap, and make sure he knows it's there, and give him something to write with.
The ring that let him talk.
Yeah, Gooey's... Gooey's
walking. Oh, yeah, sure. No, I'll give him my ring.
Yeah, you've got one as well, haven't you?
Yeah. Because I can't wear it.
You slide the ring and it adjusts to the size of the end of his finger because his fingers are webbed.
Yeah.
And you watch as slowly blue tendrils come forth from the stump of where his tongue was, and it slowly becomes fleshed more and more, and he now has a tongue made of magic. Who's there? His entire body is like shaking and quivering.
It's us, the idiots that, you know, continuously pestered you like, what, a week ago? It's us, and we came back, and then, you know, shit's gone sideways or up in flames.
Where is everyone? My wife?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Listen, right now you need to worry about yourself. How, like, on a scale of like 1 to 10, how bad is he looking, like, on death's door?
He is. Obviously, he's got all his old scarring on one side. and now the other side of his body is like charred and burnt and like bubbled and blistered. He is not looking good.
Okay.
Where are they? And you see him patting the ground like in front of him and slowly trying to make his way forward, patting ever so lightly every time he moves. Where? His hand touches like a crispy bit of frog.
Gosh.
God damn it.
Oh. I had to lighten it somehow, okay?
You did not.
That's not light.
Yeah, Gooey's gonna walk up to this person now and is just kind of edging towards him, staff sort of towards the ground, and sort of draws a circle around him and casts Tessna's disc underneath and is just going to begin walking over to Orsak and just gonna sort of gently tap his into it.
Rest now, okay?
Find my wife.
I cast sleep on him.
He passes out. Isaac looks at you, nods solemnly, picks him up and starts walking towards the cart with him. Places him in the back. You hear Eren, upon seeing him, frantically start sobbing and crying again. Isaac walks out. Despicable. We're going to find whoever did this. The Gripply didn't cause any trouble for anyone. They had no reason to attack them. You can see him, like, tightening his grip around his sword.
I'm going to go up to Ozak and say, I'm worried that they're attacking these people because of us. Not because we've done anything, but just because of, you know, we've been here and they've been fine since we were here. And I'm worried that Castvault will be next, you know?
Maybe it's best you don't come to the capital then.
Please?
I'm going to tell Ozak to keep an eye on Fabenwald as well.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually. I forgot about Fabenwald.
We spent a lot of time there.
You spent like 3 days.
That's a lot of time. It's been like 2 weeks.
That is also where they found Calanthea, so...
Yeah.
He nods at you.
Ozak, do me a favor, please. For the love of every god that you do and do not believe in... Because they have shown that they are after our group by killing one of these guys' friends. And if they go after you, or any of the other, or Glynn, or any of the other people that we've interacted with, I swear to God, when we get to the capital and you're there, you better be fucking safe, because I have unfinished business with you, okay?
I understand. The capital should be safe. We have anti-magic barriers across the entire outskirts.
Glynn's like, we do?
Oh yeah, you do. It's only along like the outer walls to stop like any malicious like thing from getting through. But yeah, you do. So the entire length of the wall would be anti-magic, and then you would be inspected before entering. Even more so now.
Glint has never been inspected and now thinks maybe it may have to do with the fact that he's very large.
He is very large. That's probably larger than you in the capital, though.
Probably. The capital's larger than me. That's something.
Yeah, yeah. The walls.
Oh Stupid conversation.
I want to quickly do one last thing while I'm talking to Ozak. I'm going to retcon a tiny bit of what I was doing during when we were at watch. Because I said that I bought some letter writing materials.
Yes.
I am going to just shove a enveloped letter into Ozak's hands and say, here. Okay? Don't read it yet, just later when you feel like you need to. Because you'll know when you need to, just not right now, okay?
I'm going to be honest, handing me a suspicious letter after a...
It's not down. Suspicious. It's just something. Just shut up. Shut up, you beautiful man, I swear to God.
You piece of dumb himbo.
You piece of shit. I love you. Walk off.
Ozak looks very confused and starts to smile a little bit, but then reevaluates the situation and quickly turns into a serious expression again. We'll send peacekeepers to Fabernwald. They haven't been there in a while. A checkup is probably long overdue. A friend of mine currently lives there, runs the tavern.
Maybe he's just going to walk a little bit further down the street. And then get a little bit away from the group and sort of tap their chest with the crystal and just cast Levitate and just go straight up and see how much of the town has actually been affected.
All of it. The entire town has been aflame and crumpled.
What about the coast?
Coast, even the water is like, the sand has like been just... Everything is fucked. Just well and truly fucked. Yeah, there is a very large horse next to him that is Glint's horse.
Yeah, that is my horse. I do not ride the horse, I just hang out with the horse.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Moral support.
Yeah. Horse support.
I'm actually very against the riding of horses.
Understandable.
So I'm guessing I don't see anybody's walking around the town sort of trying to find anybody else.
No.
No. Well,
there's people, they're in the town, but I don't know if they're too much walking these days.
Jesus! Ozak looks at you all. We'll speak with some Gripply who are in the Peacekeeper, and we'll inform the next of kin of the people in the town. We'll send Peacekeepers as soon as possible to bury them and deal with them as we can.
I think Little Bird just asked, like, if he has a shovel to hand.
Not to hand, no, but...
We just assume that I'd have one on the pack on my horse.
Yeah, probably.
I also have one in my bag. I'll give to Little Bird as well.
They can have the one off my horse.
Kari's got a trowel! They're only small frogs. They don't need big holes.
They can have my shovel and whatever rations I would have.
It's sharpened, so it won't really act as a trowel. It's like a weapon.
Yeah.
I guess you can use it, but like, it's not really for digging.
I mean, you can use it.
It's for digging into skulls.
This is my killing trowel.
Yeah.
No, I think I'd just... I don't think Little Barak would be able to leave until they were buried.
Ozak, we should help. Like, we can't just leave these people like this.
We also need to escort the injured people to the capital and inform the rest of the brigade about this.
I mean, you're right. I don't like it, but you're right.
He gestures to the peacekeepers that are with him at the moment. You lot, help out. When we return to Cast Vault, we'll inform the peacekeepers of what's happened. We'll take peacekeepers from the town to escort us. You lot stay here and help with this.
One last detect magic for the road?
Sure.
That's up to you, bud.
Yeah, you can go for it.
I know.
What?
You have to tell me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, you can detect magic.
No!
What?
What? Is there magic?
Yeah, really, really strong. Very,
okay,
very powerful.
What is it?
Evocation.
Cool. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't anything new.
No. It's still just over fucking whelming evocation.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Sorry, my brain works.
Okay, I do. Okay, you do.
Yep, you detect magic. Fuck, dude, it sure is magic.
Fuck.
Ozak, after seeing the rest of the peacekeepers stand by you all, looks at the two that are on the front of the carriage with Eren and Reb in it. Gestures them to turn around. Ozak kind of looks at Glint, pats him on the shoulder. So how did the hunt go? And they begin trotting off. And that's where we're going to end the session. I hope you've all enjoyed this session, and we will catch you all next Monday. Goodbye, friends!